All right, Triple Say, good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Kuf Chav Zayin 127, and we are picking up 126b Kuf Chav Vav Amud Beis, the last of the short lines. It is six lines up from the bottom. Tana Rabbanan. So says the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan B'toch Shene'emar Achbar. Supposed to remember again in the list of Shratzim, the Torah says Achbar, a mouse. So Shame'ani Afilu Achbar Shebayam. Shishmo Achbar. So apparently, Abosai, there is a sea creature that's also called an Achbar. So I might have thought that the prohibition, or I should say the categorization of Sheretz, right, with all of its implications in Isra Achila, potential Tumah, I would have thought that Halacha L'maisa, Achbar includes not only a land Achbar, but a sea Achbar as well. So the Gemara says, well, let's analyze this. V'dinhu, so we'll say, for example, a chulda is a sheretz which is tameh, and an achbar is a sheretz which is tameh. Ma chulda, chulda is a weasel. Ma chulda min hagadol ala aretz, just like a chulda is a creature that grows on the earth. Af achbar min hagadol ala aretz. So too, I would say the achbar also refers to a land mouse, right? The type of mouse that grows that lives on land, not the water mouse. So that's on one hand. Okay, lechel ederazu, or the other possibility is. Tzima b'chulda v'tzima b'achbar. Right? They always say both a chulda and an achbar convey tumah. Tumah sheretz. Ma chulda kol sheshma chulda. We'll say what's included in the category of a chulda. If you're called a chulda, you are a chulda. So just like anything that's called a chulda has the categorical designation as a sheretz chulda. Af achbar kol sheshma achbar. So to also with an achbar with a mouse, I would say anything that's called a mouse, whether it lives on the earth or it lives in the sea, also should convey tumas sheretz. Achbar shivayam shishmo achbar. So we'll say that would come to include even what? Even the land mouse, which is also called a mouse. Talmud lomar al ha'aretz. So we'll say on the other hand, the pasuk says on the earth, which tells me that what? Only the land achbar has the designation of a sheretz. The sea one does not. Ay bet I al ha'aretz yachal al ha'aretz yitma. Yarad la yam lo yitma. But again, if it says al ha'aretz, I might have thought it's only while it's on the land that it's tummy. In other words, maybe the sea achbar also goes ahead and conveys tumah, but only where? Only on land. Once it goes into the sea, yarad liyam lo yitma, once it goes down to the sea, it should not convey tumah. Top of kuf chav zayin, tamid lomar hashoritz. Therefore, we'll say the pasuk says hashoritz. Shoritz means it creeps and crawls. Kamakum shashoritz, any place ultimately again where it creeps and crawls, whether it's on earth or whether it's in the water, ultimately again it will have tumah sheretz. Oh, eino ela hashoritz. Or we'll say maybe there's a different definition. Maybe hashoritz means what? Kol hamashritz yitma, she'in mashritz lo yitma. Maybe Rabbi said what it means is anything that has offspring, ultimately again becomes tamur tumah sheretz. But if it doesn't have tumah sheretz. What would that come to exclude? Otzi achbar shechetziav basar vechetziav adama. Rabbi said that would exclude the achbar that we spoke about yesterday, where the front of that achbar ultimately again is flesh, and the back, quote unquote, is dirt. Right? Is made of earth. In other words, that it's not fully formed, which apparently, again, she'in para urevei, which does not procreate. V'dinhu, I could say the other way, tzimei b'chulda v'tzimei b'achbar. Torah says that the chulda is a sheretz and has tumah sheretz, and the Torah says an achbar has tumah sheretz, and I would say ma chulda kol shishma chulda, just like Rabbi said, by a chulda, if it's called a chulda, then by definition it has tumah sheretz. Af achbar kol shishmo achbar. So to buy an achbar, I will say, by a mouse, anything that's called achbar has the status of an achbar. Whether that achbar lives on the land, whether it lives in the sea, it conveys tumas sheretz. If that's the case, avi achbar shechetzia basar vechetzia v'adama. And I would include in that what? The achbar that we referenced yesterday in the Mishnah, that the front part is flesh and the back part is earth. So the Gemara says, aye, but if that's the case, okay, lecha l'derach zu. Ultimately, again, or I could look in a different direction. Ma chulda prey revei, just like the chulda has the ability to procreate, and that's why ultimately, and that's the qualifier that allows it to become tamei tumah sheretz. Af achbar prey revei, so to the achbar ultimately is only going to be tamei with tumah sheretz if it's a type of achbar that has the ability to procreate. Talmud lomar basheretz, but I will say therefore the pasuk comes along and says basheretz. So Amar Lei, we'll almost finished with this piece. Amar Lei Ahumi the Rabban on the Rava. So there was one of the rabbis said to Rava, "Aye, but Ema, Ema basharet lasui achbar shechetzia basar vechetzia v'adama. So ultimately, again, say that basharet comes to include even our achbar of the Mishnah, that the front part is flesh and the back part is earth, because after all, it satisfies the criteria basharet that it creeps and crawls around the earth. To which the Gemara says, hashoretz kol shehu shoretz vafilu achbar shebayam, and say that hashoretz comes to include what? Anything that ultimately, again, anything that is shoretz, even that which lives in the water. V'im yishum al ha'aretz, and if you want to exclude the water achbar because of the phrase al ha'aretz, so the Gemara says, al ha'aretz yitma, yarad liyam lo yitma. Ultimately, again, if it conveys tumah while it's on the earth, would it not convey tumah while it's on land? Would it not convey tumah ultimately when it goes into the water? Amrale ume achar dishavise liyam makum tumah, malihacha, malihacha. Right, but at the end of the day, if you're going to tell me that the water achbar ultimately conveys tumah as well, then why would we make a distinction between if the achbar is on the earth or the achbar is in the water? The high ala aretz mi baile lahotzi safek tumat safa. But I will say 1 second. We need that phrase al haaretz to teach me something else. That phrase al haaretz, I will say, which we tried to use by achbar, teaches me the concept of safek tumas safa. It's actually a very interesting case. Look at Rashi for just a moment. It's in the short lines of Rashi, probably about 10 lines up from before it gets wide. Rashi says, "Hi, other arutz mi boyle lahotzi safik tumat safa, sheretz mates mace safa la mayim." Well, listen to this case. There's a dead sheretz floating on the water, and what's the situation? Safik naga, safik lo naga. So we'll say, "I'm not sure. Did I touch it? Did I not touch it?" So in general, when it comes to safek tumah, we actually have very concrete laws. What are the concrete laws? Safek tumah birshus hayochid, sveko tame. Safek tumah birshus harabim, sveko tahar. That's the general concept. If the safek is in private domain, it's tame. Safek is in public domain, it's tahar. We learned that out, actually, interestingly enough, from the halachos of Sota. They will say the interesting thing when it comes to tumah, that's tsaf al hamayim, right? If I have a dead sheretz that's floating on the water, and I don't know if I touched it or not, the halacha is, Rabbi Hussein, af birshus hayochid sveko tar. The halacha with any type of what we call tumah tsaf, any type of floating tumah, did I touch it, did I not touch it, ultimately, again, I will be tahar. Ume haikra, Rashi says, nafka lam perak basra de nazir, ksiva sheretz, komokum shesheretz, vafilu al hamayim. The ksiva al haaretz, hakitzad, So I'll say, interestingly enough, the Gemara says, we need this phrase, ala aras, to teach you something very important, which is, that if I'm not sure if I came in contact with floating tumah or not, sveko, the safek, whether it's in Rishus HaRabim or Rishus HaYochid, I will be tahar. That's the halacha. So says the Gemara, I need ala aras to teach me, safek tumah, safa is going to be mutter. Dom Rab Yitzchak bar Avdimi al ha'aretz lahosit safek tumat safa. Al ha'aretz teaches me that if there is a safek, if I came in contact with floating tumah, that halacha lemaisa I am tar. To which the Gemara says, you're right. Tarti al ha'aretz ksivi. Ultimately, again, the pasuk says al ha'aretz twice. Rabosai, one to teach me ultimately this halacha of tumat safa. The other to teach me that anything that creeps and crawls ultimately will convey tumas sheretz. Good. So therefore, again, the Gemara goes back to. So now what we begin to see, first of all, is we, of course, hold that the designation of sheretz absolutely applies to something on the land as well as to something in the sea. And as you saw already in the Mishnah, including this mouse, which has these two, the unformed and the formed part of its body. Good. Tanur Abaran. So we'll say the Gemara goes back there with the halachos concerning sheretz. Hatsav liminehu. So we'll say, so the pasuk atsav is a toad. So a toad is in the sheretz family. So the pasuk says, Hatsav liminehu. So the tsav and its minehu and its minim and its type. What does that come to include? Lahavi ha'arud. Both say this comes to include an arud. Rashi says, what's an arud? Min hatsav o min hanachashu ba. So we'll say, apparently an arud, ultimately, no, we'll say, not to be confused, very often when we use the word arud, so arud refers to like some type of wild donkey or wild mule. That's not the context here. Right? Here's actually what it is, arvad. Right? Ultimately, the arvad over here is a reference to the offspring between a snake and a toad. A snake and a toad. So the Gemara says, lahavia aru, ha arvad, v'chein hanafilim, v'salamandura. And above this also comes to include Nephilim. Rashi says over Sheretz Minsav, something else in the toad family, and the salamander. Now Rashi says something amazing over here. This is the last of the short lines in Rashi. Salamandra. This is not an ordinary salamander. Rather, Rashi says, Sheretz Hanotza Min Ha'ar Me'atzi Hadas Aidi Kshafim. So this was some type of creature which was created ultimately again through fire and myrtle branches through sorcery. Wow. Through sorcery. Now what's the chap of this salamander? Vasach midamo ein ha'or sholeit bo. And apparently, again, if you rub this type of salamander blood on you, it's like it repels fire, makes you fire resistant. Don't try this, but you understand. Ein ha'or sholeit bo. V'kimon Rabbi Akiva d'minei detzavu. And we'll say, although this obviously is some type of kishuf, miraculous type of creature, in terms of its designation, it is in the toad family. Ukishahaya Rabbi Akiva Magiel Pasik Zah. We'll say here a little bit of Agarato. And Rabbi Akiva used to get to this pasuk. Omer, he used to say, and we'll say this pasuk, it's amazing. This pasuk of Hatsav Leminehu. Remember again, this is Vizelochem Atame Basharitz Asharitz Ala Aretz. This is the pasuk. And these are the shrutzim that go ahead and creep and crawl over the land. Hacholed Va'achbar Vatsav Leminehu. These are all right. So when Rabbi Akiva used to get to this pasuk, what would he say? Marabu Ma'asecha Hashem. This is a Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva looks at Psukim in a different way. He used to read this pasuk and he was amazed. Look at Kodesh Baruch Hu, how incredible your creations are. Why? V'yesh lecha brios gedolos bayam. V'yesh lecha brios gedolos bayabasha. We'll say first wide line, 127a. There are some creatures who grow up in the sea. Some creatures who grow up, who live on the earth. Shebayam amale olos bayabasha miyad mesos. The sea creatures, if they come onto the earth, they will die. Shebi Abasha, El Mala Yardos Liab Miyad Mesos. The land creatures, if they go into the sea, they will die. Yeish Lecha Brios Gidolos Ba'ar, Yeish Lecha Brios Gidolos Ba'avir. There are some creatures who live in the fire and other creatures who live in the air. Sheba'ar, El Mala Olos La'avir Miyad Mesos. Those creatures which require fire, if they come into the air, they will die. Sheba avir emali yardos laar miyad mesos. And the fire creatures, the air creatures that come into the fire, ultimately, again, if they change their circumstances, they will die. And as a result, Rabbi Akiva said, Marabu ma'asecha Hashem. Look at Kodesh Baruch Hu, how great your creations are. We'll say, by the way, understand the profundity of what Rabbi Akiva is saying. What Rabbi Akiva perceived is, Kodesh Baruch Hu did not make the world with creatures that are all the same. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made different types of creatures with different types of identities who live in different types of places and by extension with different types of roles. That was what Rabbi Akiva perceived as the Marabu Ma'asecha Hashem. Everything has its place. Everything has its makom. Everything has its own. Rabbi said, if it's true in the animal kingdom, then of course it's true for us as well. Isn't it an amazing thing? You know, sometimes we think that the goal is to make everyone the same, right? But we know, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't create us that way. There are different people, just like we look different, just like genders are different. So we'll say, there's a variety of things in the universe that have to get done. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu assigns us each our unique and distinctive roles. And the challenge becomes, when I try to become something that I'm not, right? When I try to assume an identity or a role that's not mine. We saw this in Chovas HaTalmidim, right? This is what Paro did. Remember again what the Piagetzna was saying? That in life, your role has to be matim, has to be appropriate to you. And if the roles, I'm using the word roles, but you understand what I mean. The roles or the places or identities are somehow mixed up, then the equilibrium of the world is disrupted as well. This is what Rabbi Akiva saw. And it's an incredibly dramatic idea. He's seeing it in the animal kingdom. And through that, he says, Marabu ma'asecha Hashem. Ein lecha adam she'ein lamak. Right? We'll say every person has a place. Every person has a role. Every person has a tachlis. Sometimes we spend our lives looking at what the other is doing. And we spend our lives being the kind of being jealous of the role that someone else has. We have to ask, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, put me in this world for my role, put you in this world for your role. Everyone has their distinctive role, their distinctive responsibility. Stop focusing on the role and identity of the other and start cultivating your own. That's the Marabu Ma'asecha Hashem. Tana Rabbanan. So we'll say the Gemara goes a little bit weiter. Koshi Yesh Biabasha Yesh Bayam. We'll say it's actually amazing. Any creature that you have on the earth, you also have in the sea. Chutz min acholda. With the exception, of course, of the weasel. So we'll say this is actually an amazing idea, that the way that creation works is the sea and the earth are almost like parallel worlds. So whatever type of creature you will find on the earth, you'll also find its sister creature, so to speak, in the sea. Chutz min acholda. The one exception to this rule is the weasel. So apparently, again, there is no equivalent of a sea weasel, right? There's no equivalent of that animal in the sea. On Rabbi Zera, my cross, what's this amazing? So Rabbi Zera says, tell me, what's the pasuk that supports that idea? And what's, you understand how profound this is? What do you mean, what's the pasuk that supports that idea? What's like, everything is in Torah. Everything is in Torah. There is no such thing as any piece of life wisdom or anything you need in life that is not contained in Torah. Sometimes it's explicit, sometimes it's nuanced. Sometimes you can find it yourself, sometimes you have to ask. But everything is in Torah. So you're going to go ahead and make an assertion that there's no such thing as a sea weasel, that there's no equivalent in the sea. Tell me, what pasuk do you have? Unless I get ready for this, it's very exciting. So Rabbi Zera says, I'll tell you, Ha'azinu kol yoshvei chalat. So let's listen to this. The Gemara quotes the pasuk. Quotes the pasuk from Tehillim. Sha'azinu kol yoshvei chalad. So we'll say, ultimately, listen, chalad means earth, right? Listen, all you who dwell on the land. So let's say, interestingly enough, so chalad is a word for land. Chulda is the name given to the weasel. We're assuming, why is the weasel called the chulda? Well, one of the reasons, apparently, is because it only exists on the earth, does not have any sea counterpart. So the name itself, chulda, ultimately, again, is related to Yoshvei Chalad. Incredible. I'm going to have Funabrid of Yeshua. So let's say the Gemara goes right there. Bivri dinarash einan min hayishuv. So what we're going to get, it's actually very interesting. Bivri dinarash means beavers, which live in the city of Narash. The city of Narash was a city. So what says, if you look at Rashi says over here, Bivri dinarash chayas hametsuyos ba'osam makom. So beaver, Rashi says, bivrunash. So beavers, right? The beavers of the city of Narash, einan min hayishuv, Rashi says, einan gedelos ela b'mayim. So apparently, again, these beavers in Narash did not live on land. They only lived in the water. Okay? So the Gemara says, Amar Papa b'shamta Narash tarbe mashche va'alise. So we'll say, now that the Gemara spoke about the beavers of Narash, Rav Papa speaks about the people of Narash. The people of Narash should all be excommunicated. Right? They both say, tarbe, look, if you look at that, actually, tarbe mashche va'alise, ha'chilev va'or im ha'basar va'alya. The fat, the flesh, and the tail. We'll say that's a reference to different kinds of people. Right? So that means everyone from their oldest to their youngest should be excommunicated. These are bad people. Eretz Shimi Devar Hashem, Amra Papa, Lo Ava Narash Shama Devar Hashem. The people of Arash do not heed the word of God. So apparently, again, the residents of Narash had some problems. And as a result, ultimately, again, Rav Papa has strong words and they should be excommunicated. Amrav Gido Amrav Narsha. So we'll say, now that we're speaking about people from different locations, we're bringing up a couple of other cities. So Rav said, Narsha, if a person from the city of Narash, right, same city, Narash, Nashkech, Mini Kabech. If a person from Narash kisses you, count your teeth afterwards. So obviously giving you a little bit of an insight into the people of Narash. Nar Pekuda Leviach. So I'll say, if a person from Nar Pekod escorts you, know that he's only escorting you for one reason. Miglima Shapir de Chazilach. It's because he likes your cloak and he's going to look for the first opportunity to steal it. Pumpadisa Leviach. If a guy from Pumpadisa escorts you, Leviach Ashani Ushpizach. Obviously, you don't read that differently. Pumpadisa Leviach. If a man from Pumpadisa escorts you, Ashani Ushpizach, you probably should change your lodging. Rashi points out over here, because if he knows where you're staying, he will come back later on after you fall asleep to try to rob you. Amar Ravuna Bar Tursa. Pam Achos Halachti Levad. So we'll say another incredible story. Rav Huna Bar Tursa said, one time I went to the city of Vad, v'ra'isi nachash shukaroch alat sav, and I saw a snake which was hanging out with a toad. Now we'll say, literally means wrapped around a toad. Now Rashi points out over here, Rashi points out over here that Korach alatzav koshaya hayom matzui etzlo v'hayon niskak imo. Whereas he saw that this snake and this toad were mating with one another. L'yamim yotza arvad mibeneihem. It will say sometime later on, Mazel Tov, they had an arvad from between them. Ukisha basilifnei Rabbi Shimon Achasid. And when I came for Rabbi Shimon Achasid, Amrli, Amra Kodesh Baruch Hu, Heim hevi beria shalom barasi ba'olami, Af ani avi aleihem beria shalom barasi ba'olami. So we'll say, so listen to this. So this is actually very interesting. So the arvad, by the way, was known also as a very destructive creature. In fact, again, the bite of an arvad, the Gemara says, is enough to kill a person. So apparently, again, what happens is, so comes along, Rav Huna sees this whole thing. He comes before Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon says that the birth of this arvad was a punishment for the people of Vad. Why? Because apparently the people of Vad illegally crossbred animals. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said they illegally crossbred animals, and so as a punishment, again, I'm going to bring about this crossbreeding as well, which produced the Arvad, which will become a menace to the local population. Ayv Hamar Mar, Kol She Tashmishan V'Iburan Shave, Yoldin Umegadlin, Zemiza. But there's a problem, says Igmar. There's a biological problem, which is how are a snake and a toad able to mate? I was going to say, in general, again, we assume in the animal kingdom, any animals which mate the same way and have similar gestational periods have the ability to go ahead and produce offspring, even if they're not the same type of animals. But animals which do not mate the same way and which do not have ultimately same gestational periods cannot go ahead and produce offspring. Snakes and toads do not mate the same way, nor do they have the same gestational period. So how are they able to produce offspring of an arvad? Amarav, nes b'soch nes. It was a miracle. A miracle in a miracle. Ultimately, it says, a miracle in a miracle. I says the Gemara, hi paranusu, but one second, this isn't a miracle, this is a punishment. Right? The birth of this arvad is something bad for the local population. So Gemara says, my nes b'soch nes, liparanus. What does it mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought about a miraculous result. But again, this miracle was not to benefit. Instead, this miracle was to punish. Rashi says over here, Neis b'soch neis leparanos, kedei lipara min harishoim. Ultimately, again, in order to go ahead and extract punishment or repayment from the rishoim. Okay, I will say, incredible Gemara. Says the Mishnah, Ha'eiver v'habasar medudalan bebehema, so what's an interesting case? If you have an aver, right? If you have a limb of an animal, or basa, or flesh, which is meduldo. So we'll say meduldo means it is hanging from the animal. So we'll say, what's the case over here? So the case over here is a situation where either another animal took a bite out of another animal or got injured. The point over here is there's a limb that's like hanging by a thread. So it's not detached from the animal, but of course it's also not attached. Well, say differently. It's attached, but it's hanging by a thread. That's meduldo. Whether it's a complete limb, whether it's a piece of flesh. So we'll say, what's the halacha? Mitamin tumas ochlin bim koman. So we'll say, an interesting halacha, which is that piece of flesh, or that limb, is mitamin tumas ochlin. It has the ability to become tummy like a food item, even though what? It is still attached to the animal. Look at Rashi. Hamedudon babehema, nitlash mimeno eiver baser gidim vaatzamos, o nitlash mimeno baser levado, vaadayin hein maurin baba miktas. But so again, the limb is detached. The piece of flesh is detached, but it's still attached a little bit to the rest of the animal. Fine. So as I look at Bim Koman, Rashi says, Va'afa pishehem mechubarin, even though, again, technically speaking, this dangling limb is still attached to the animal, nevertheless, says Rashi, it's very important. In chishep aleyen la'achil on the oved kochavim. If you already had in mind that you are going to give this to an akum, havi ochel, the kabal tomo lotami achirim. Ultimately, again, that designation to give it as a food item to a non-Jew ultimately relegates it to the status of ochel. Therefore, again, it is makabel tumah for tumas ochlin, has the ability to convey tumah the tami achirim the tumas atzman imen ashiyit l'shukulan ki the brishis gemara avam makabel tumah and asheres umetamin ba es achirim. Fine. So we'll say. So that's halacha number one. Even though the limb ultimately is still attached, if it's dangling, and you have in mind ultimately again that you're going to convey it as a food item to an akum, it contracts tumas ochlin. However, utzrich and hechsher. But I will say, ultimately, in order to be makabel tumah, it requires hechsher, right? Contact with liquid. Rashi says utzrich and hechsher. Lo bo b'mayim pam achos la'achar shenedaldulu b'shum makabel tumah olamis. So we'll say, ultimately, it requires contact with the liquid. Amad beis. Nishchetu abehema. If the behema becomes tam, if the animal is shechted, then what? Hochshuru b'dameh al-divei Rabbi Meir. So we'll say, if the animal is shechted, then ultimately, again, this limb, which is medulda, this dangling limb, becomes hochshar, becomes ready to be makabel tumah, ultimately, again, through the blood of the shechit. Remember, again, blood is one of the liquids that makes something ra'i lekabel tumah. So Rabbi Meir will say that halacha l'maisa, when you shechted, the blood of the shechita ultimately makes this dangling limb hochshar lekabel tumah. Rabbi Shimon Omar, lo hochshuru. Rabbi Shimon disagrees and he says, no, it is not hochshur lekabel tumah. But we'll see what that machlokis is about in the Gemara. Meisa behema, if the animal dies, habasar tzaruch hechsher. So we'll say, if the animal dies, this is without shechita, then ultimately, again, the flesh requires hechsher. Rashi says, meisa behema habasar shenedaldom. This is talking about, ultimately, again, the dangling limb requires hechsher lekabel tumah. Ha'ever, metame mishum ever menachai. So we'll say, ultimately, again, the ever, right, the limb, has the ability to convey tumah. Alts ever minachai, ve'inam atame mishum ever nevela divrabi meir. But it does not become tame, alts tumas nevela. Which I both say, so again, the dangling limb has the ability to go ahead and, or I should say not as the ability, is tame, alts ever minachai, but it does not convey tumah, alts nevela, divrabi meir. These are the words of Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon Matar. Rabbi Shimon says, no, it is totally mitar. Rashi, look at Rashi's moment. Ever mitar mishum ever benachai. Ki the precious time of the misa osenipol ki moshe no pasamach misa. We'll see in the Gemara. So last machlokis in the Mishnah is ultimately again status of the dangling limb. So you have Rabbi Meir saying that dangling limb has the status of ever benachai, and as we learned before, ever benachai conveys tumah. And we have Rabbi Shimon saying no, it's totally tar. Okay, we'll analyze all this in the Gemara. Says the Gemara. Tumas ochlin in tumas nevela lo. So we'll say, remember again, the first statement in the Mishnah was as follows. I have this dangling limb from the animal. So what did the Mishnah say? It's metame tumas ochlin. It's metame tumas ochlin. Right? So it has the tumah of a food item. So the Gemara in first in here, that's what? Tumas ochlin in tumas nevela lo. We'll say it has the tumah ultimately of food, but not of nevela. Remember again, nevela is an animal carcass. So this dangling limb has tumas ochlin, doesn't have tumas nevela. The Gemara says, okay, hey, chidami. So what exactly is the case here? Says the Gemara. Hey, chidami. If you want to say that the limb has the ability to regenerate, safilo tumas ochlin, namilo litmu, then I will say the dangling limb should not have tumas ochlin either. Why, Rabosai? Why? Because if it has the ability to regenerate, then what? It's a part of what? It's a part of the animal. If it's a part of the animal, remember again, this animal is alive, to be clear. If it's a part of the animal, then it does not have tumas ochlin, right? So the Gemara says, ve'idein ma'alin aruka. And if you want to say that the bone does not regenerate, the limb does not regenerate, then tumas nevela nami litmu. Then I will say, ultimately, again, if that's the case, and the limb is dangling, and it doesn't have the ability to regenerate, then essentially what? How should I view it? As detached. If it's detached, then lemaisa again, it should have tumas nevela. So we'll see here what the Gemara is saying over here. If you tell me in the case of the dangling limb, if the limb has the ability to regenerate, then it should have the status of the animal. If it has the status of the animal, it's not tame at all. Remember again, living animals cannot contract tumah. If the limb does not regenerate, then halacha l'maisa should be considered as if it's detached, and if it's detached, then halacha l'maisa should have tumas nevela. To which the Gemara says, "V'idein malin aruka tumas nevela nami litmu." To which the Gemara says, "The olam dein malin aruka." In reality, we hold Rabbi Osai that the limb cannot regenerate. V'shayni tumas nevela. Aye, so why doesn't the limb become tamei with tumas nevela? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Dirachmana amar ki yipol. As we'll say, interestingly enough, the lashon of the Torah when it comes to nevela is ki yipol mi nevla sam. Ad she yipol. Ultimately, you know, we'll say, it's only called nevela when it falls off. If the limb is in any way attached, a little bit of a drasha, because this is not exactly what the pasuk is talking about, so it's a little bit of an extrapolation based on the pasuk, but nevertheless, what we're understanding is, when does it become an avela? Only kiyipo, only when it falls off. When it is still attached in some way to the actual animal itself, it cannot contract tumas nevela. We'll see if we look at Rashi. Kiyipo min nevla sam, eno kari nevela, ad she yipo legamre. It is only called an avela if the limb mamish falls off the rest of the animal. Tanya Namiachi Abraisa that supports this. Ha'iver v'habasra hamidul dolin bibehema. So we'll say if you have an aver, if you have a limb or flesh that is meduldal. We'll say meduldal means it's hanging, right? It's dangling off the animal. Umu'urin b'chut hasara. And we'll say ultimately again, maybe they're only hanging on by what? By just a hair, like a small thread of flesh. Yochol yitmu tumas nevela. You might have thought that such a limb should become tamei tumas nevela. Tamei lomar yipol. Therefore, we'll say the pasuk says fall ad she yipol. It only becomes tumas nevela ultimately when it falls. So we'll say, so essentially, what the Gemara is saying over here is that halacha lemaisa, it's exeris hakasev, right? Essentially, it's based on a pasuk that even though technically speaking, from a categorical perspective, there should be nevela. Why should it be nevela? We're saying because we're talking about a limb that cannot regenerate, is not really attached to the animal in any type of constructive way. Just happens to be attached in a basic, like anatomical way, but not really in any way that actually functionally connects it to the animal. Therefore, I would say really categorically, this is detached. And if it's detached, then it should have the status ultimately again of nevela. Kamash molon ki yipol. But I will say the pasuk tells us by nevela, it's only nevela when it falls off. This hasn't fallen off, therefore it's not tami tumas nevela. But, and I will say, here we go. Vafilu achi tumas ochlin mitmu. But I will say, interestingly enough, although it will not have tumas nevela, it does have what? Tumas ochlin. So interestingly enough, this dangling limb can be looked at as a food item. Obviously not for a Jew, it's not going to be kosher. But lemaisa, again, for a Gentile, it can be kosher. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, it does contract tumas ochlin. So the Gemara says, Miseyle v'Rav Chiya bar Ashi. And I will say, this supports the position, ultimately, again, of Rav Chiya bar Ashi. Then Rav Chiya bar Ashi, Amar Shmuel, here we go. Te'inim shetzamku bi'ibehem. We'll say, if you have figs which shriveled on their branches. So this is an interesting case. So the figs are actually attached to the branch, but they shriveled on the branch itself. What's talacha? Tameos tumas ochlin. Ultimately, again, what's talacha, Rabosai? They become tamei tumas ochlin. Rabosai, now what's interesting about this? What's interesting about this is as follows. In general, when do food items contract tuma? Only when they are detached, right? Food items, because Rabosai, think about this. If food items contracted to one, they're attached, you're going to have a very big problem, which is what? You're never able to eat anything, right? Everything is going to be tummy, because inevitably, you can have a sheretz that dies in the tree, a sheretz that dies in the field. So the halacha is, food items can only become tummy when they are detached. So now I have a very interesting case. I have figs, which shriveled on their branches. So we'll say, which means if they shrivel, then what does that mean? What does that mean? They're really no longer gaining any type of sustenance from the tree itself. But on a technical level, they're still attached. So what does the Raisa tell me? So the Gemara says, Tumeos tumas ochlin, they contract tumas ochlin. Even though they're attached, because they're shriveled, they're no longer really attached to the tree in any type of functional way. Therefore, they're considered as if they are detached, and therefore what? They're matami tumas ochlin. V'atolish men b'shabes chayiv chatos, and halocha l'maisa, if you detach it from the tree on Shabbos, you're chayiv chatos. So we'll say, so look what we just did. We just spoke out of two sides of our mouth. We'll say, on one hand, you just told me that they're considered detached, legabe tumas ochlin. Since they're shriveled up, not growing from the tree, therefore they are effectively detached from the tree, and they are mekabel tumas ochlin. On the other hand, what did you just tell me? That if on Shabbos, I take off one of them from the tree, what's the halacha? I'm chayiv chatos. Chayiv chatos for what? For ktsira, for kotzer. Oker davar mimokum gidulo. If you detach something from the place where it grows on Shabbos, you are chayiv a carbon chatos, assuming you did it b'shogeg. Rashi says, chayiv chatos, im lo yavshu uksehen. And Rashi points out something very important, which is, although the fig is dried up, in this case over here, the stem is not dry. What do you see from here? You see from here this construct that we just saw before by the Abraham Adulda, which is something could be considered attached for certain things, but detached for other things. So for example, in the case of the dried up fig, the fig is considered to be attached to the tree. Ultimately, again, for Shabbos purposes, but yet detached from the tree for what? For Tumah purposes. Let's bring another support to this. Yirakos shetzimku bi'ibehem. So we'll say if I have vegetables, ultimately again, that have withered up, but they are still attached to their stems. Kigon, hakruv vahadalas, like the gourd, right? Like the gourd, like the dalas, right? So the Gemara says, so ein metamin tumas ochlin. Ultimately again, they do not become tame tumas ochlin. And I will say now, bepashtos, why do they not become tamei tumas ochlin? Rashi says over here, she'ein duhu lav ochal minhu. So ultimately, again, because they're not yet considered food. V'kasaka da'itcha duhu gufalo itzeh. So we'll say, now what? Okay, let's read the rest of this. So now you have the following situation. You have yirakos. Now these vegetables have dried up while still attached to their stems. So the Gemara says, so what's the halacha? Im tamei tumas ochlin. They do not become tamei tumas ochlin. Now on the other hand, katzitzan v'yavshan. If you cut them off of their stem and they dry out, mitamin tumas ochlin. Then ultimately, again, they do become tamei tumas ochlin. Now, katzitzan v'yavshan sachdaitran. Now, what does that mean? If you cut them off their stem and you dry them out, that they become tamei tumas ochlin. We'll say if you take a kruv and a dalas, right? If you take the cabbage and the gourd and you go ahead and you dry them out, it's ba'amu. We'll say they become inedible. If they become inedible, they're no longer called ochel. If they're no longer called ochel, then there's certainly no designation of what? Tumas ochlin. But Rabbi Yitzchak says, no. What's the case we're referring to over here? Ba'al menas liavshan. We're talking about these vegetables where I detach them from their stem on the condition, right, with the intent to go ahead and dry them out. Now watch this. Time of the kruv udalas, if you look at Rashi, Actually, not yet. So, time of the kruv and dalasu. So, we'll say the reason this halacha is true is because we're dealing with the kruv and the dalas. Chayvan di yavshan, which are both items where once they are dried out, lav b'nei achilaninu. We'll say once they are dried out, they are no longer considered to be edible. Har shar peros, but ultimately, again, when it comes to other forms of peros, mitame, they do contract tumas ochlin. So, what's the case? Hechidami. If both the fruit or the food item and the ukatz and the stem is dried out, so pshita. So we'll say in a case where both, let's say the fruit or the vegetable and the stem are both dried out, then it's clear that what? That halachically they should be considered to be detached and ultimately again should be matame tumas ochlin. So rather, what do you have to say? Elo lav belo uktzehen. Rather, we'll say what you have to say is as follows. That ultimately, again, that the ukatz, right, the ukatz is ultimately, the stem itself, is still attached ultimately to the fruit, right? The fruit is dried out, but ultimately the stem is not. To which the Gemara says, but that can't be. The olam hein v'uktzehen. In reality, says the Gemara, we have to be dealing with both the fruit and the ukatz. Look at Rashi for just a moment. It's in the wide lines of Rashi, four lines in. Hein ela liolam hein v'uktzehen. So we'll say, if you're going to say they were talking about a case of both where the fruit and the stem is dried out, and you're going to tell me then that at that point in time the food is metame tumas ochlin, we'll say in reality that's not a chiddush. That's not a chiddush. If the stem is dried out and the fruit are both dried out, namely nothing is gaining any type of nutrition ultimately from the tree, then it makes sense to say that they're already considered to be detached, and therefore by extension that they're metami tumas ochlin. To which the Gemara says, no. What's the case? The katzitzan al menas liabshan etzrichale. I will say, I need it for the case ultimately of where I detach the item with the intention to dry it out. Look at Rashi over here. Rashi said, not yet. So the Gemara says, katzitzan al menas liabshan etzrichale. So we'll say, if you go ahead and you cut off the fruit together with its stem, or the vegetable together with its stem, with the condition ultimately again to dry it out. Even though it is not yet dried out, halacha lemaisa, it already contracts tumas ochlin. Tashma, so the Gemara adds in another piece, we'll say where this will have to end. Tashma, ilan shenifshach ubo peros. What's another interesting case? If you go ahead and you cut off the branch of a tree, but you cut off the branch ultimately with the fruit still on it, hare hein kitlushin. We view the fruit as if it's totally detached. Look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, shenafsha nitlash mimeno anaf uba'osa anaf yesh peros. So I cut down a branch, and on that branch are fruits. There are fruits on that branch. So what's the halacha? Hare hein kitlushin. The fruit is considered as if it's detached in totality, right? Even though, again, even though everything is still moist, right? So it's considered to be detached. And I will say, we know, what's the nafkamina for being considered detached? For our purposes, the nafkamina, if you're detached, it's mekabel tumas ochlin. Says the Gemara, yavshu harehin kimechubarin. I'm sorry. Sinu shenosh koperos harehin kitlushin. Yavshu harehin kimechubarin. I will say, look at Rashi, yavshu peros ilin shalom nefchasrein kimechubarin. But on the other hand, what? On the other hand, if you have fruit attached to a tree, we'll say this is case two. So case number one is, I cut off a branch with fruit on it, and the fruit is still moist, the branch, the stem is still good. Nevertheless, it's considered to be detached. And if it's considered to be detached, it's a kabbalah to us, Ochlin. Next case, Rabbi was saying, is Yavshu, if the fruit is still on the branch, but the fruit dries out on the branch, Harehen kimichubarin. Ultimately, again, it's considered to be what? As if it's still attached. So if it's on the tree itself, even if it's yavshu, even if it's dried out, it's still considered to be mechuber. We'll say, what does that tell us practically? Therefore what? It's not mekabel tumas ochlin. And of course on Shabbos, if you were to go ahead and pluck it off, you would be chayav b'chatos. My lav, so we'll say, does this not mean matlushin l'chol divrayin, ach mechubar l'chol divrayin? We'll say, maybe it means, just like in case number one of the branch, just like we said, they're just like we said, it's talush. Talush means it's talush for all purposes, Rabbi say. Talush for all purposes meaning what? That if you were to take a fruit off the branch on Shabbos, you would be pater. And it's mekabel tumas ochlin. So too in the case of mechubarin, in the case of the dried out fruit that's on the tree, ultimately it's considered to be mechubar l'chol divrei. And look at Rashi. Rashi says, malav af mechubarin, dika amar l'chol divrei karafilu le'inyin tuma. Even for tuma purposes, Rabbi say, if it's dried out, it should not be makabel tumas ochlin. And therefore, again, that poses a shaila to Shmuel, to which the Gemara says, not necessarily, mide iria, hakidisa vahakidisa. Not necessarily, both cases can be reckoned independently. Look at Rashi, hakidisa vahakidisa, tolushin shenif shach, l'chol divrein havu tolushin, bein le'inyin chiyav tumah, bein le'inyin Shabbos. So we'll say, if you have a branch that was detached from a tree, and that branch has fruit on it, the halacha is going to be, those fruit are considered to be detached for all purposes. For Shabbos, namely if you pluck off fruit off that branch on Shabbos, you will not be chayiv. And for Tumah, it's considered to be detached, and therefore halacha lemaisa, it is mekabel Tumah. On the other hand, Rabbi will say, in the other case, but by mechubarin, diktani gabe yafshu, the Shabbos come below the Tumah. But Rabbi will say, bless you, it's quite possible that what? That halacha lemaisa, in the case of the dried fruit attached to the tree, or better stated, the fruit that is attached to the tree but dried out, the halacha is different in different cases. Legave Shabbos, it is considered ultimately again to be mechuber. Legave Shabbos, ultimately again, it is considered to be attached to the tree, and ultimately again, therefore if you pluck it off, you will be chayiv. But according to Shmuel, once it dried up on the tree, it is considered to be detached legabe tuma purposes. And therefore again, will be mekabe tuma sochlin. So again, I'm about to say what comes out, according to Shmuel at least, is that halacha lemaisa, when the fruit dry up on the tree, for Shabbos purposes, it's considered to be mechuber, and therefore if you detach that fruit from the tree on Shabbos, you'll be chayiv. But for tumas ochlin, once it dries up on the tree, it is no longer considered attached, it's considered to be detached, and therefore is mekabel tumas ochlin. Shabbos, I'll stop here.
If you have your suits or filling in the mitzvah, please take them away because it's going to be taken.